Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. A lot to unpack here as we started the day getting ready to talk extensively about the retirement of Tom Brady after 22 years, do top five, bottom five like we normally do around the show coming off an NFL weekend. But Chris, obviously, the news of the day has very quickly come to center around a lawsuit filed by former Miami Dolphins head coach Brian Flores, suing the NFL, the Giants, the Dolphins, and the Broncos for alleged racism in hiring. This lawsuit includes alleged texts from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick as evidence. It was filed in Manhattan federal court seeking unspecified damages from the NFL. And Chris, it's hard to know even where to start with this, but I think this is something that now, in writing and in the court of law, has the chance to drive home what a lot of people have felt for a long time about the NFL, its minority hiring practices, and the effectiveness in the Rooney Rule involved.
Yeah, Gojo, and here's the thing. I get that this is an uncomfortable conversation for us to be having, but think about how uncomfortable it is for minority coaching candidates, for black coaches out there that want to rise through the ranks and have an opportunity to be a head coach and then get the runway that's necessary in order to get whatever program they're taking over turned around. That's what Brian Flores is trying to highlight with this lawsuit against the National Football League, against the Miami Dolphins, and against the New York Giants, while also showing that the Rooney Rule is essentially a sham because it allows the NFL clubs to have the optics of going through the process of considering minority candidates with no intent of actually hiring them. So when we start to point to the different measures that the NFL put in place for substantive change with the hiring practices and including more diverse people at the top of the organizational hierarchies, like, it's just showing, it's highlighting that that's not the case, that owners are going to make the decision to hire whoever they want. And oftentimes it's people that they're more comfortable with, not necessarily the most qualified candidates. So from the coach's perspective, from black coaches, from minority candidates' perspectives, this is an uncomfortable spot to be in. And that's why Brian Flores is potentially sacrificing the rest of his career as a head coach in the National Football League in order to bring to light these issues and to have them addressed in a meaningful way.
Yeah, Chris, I cannot stress that enough. Brian Flores was going to be a head coach again sooner rather than later. If it wasn't this hiring cycle, it was going to be in the next year based on the job that he had done with the Miami Dolphins. So that is significant as this continues to develop and as we're going to see all this, because what we saw, again, the accusations, the allegations in this lawsuit are that the New York Giants interviewed Brian Flores after already internally believing they were going to hire Brian Daboll, their current head coach and the former offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills. That's where the text messages from Bill Belichick are cited here allegedly as evidence, where he congratulates Brian Flores on the job, only to go back and say he made a mistake and that it was going to Brian Daboll days before Brian Flores was set to interview. And Chris, like, on a human level, as people are wondering what would, you know, have a coach do this in his head for Brian Flores to, like you said, maybe sacrifice that career, that's got to hurt a lot to already think that these things are going on as you've gone through this process, and then to see it in writing, something like that, as you get ready to go out there and feel like you're just being brought in to check a box.
Yeah, it's frustrating, but that's exactly what happened. And based on the text message that came through from Bill Belichick, if in fact that ended up being the case, and there should be evidence of that, then that's essentially what the New York Football Giants did. And that's one of the flagship franchises in the National Football League, Gojo. It's in the largest market that the NFL has to offer. And the fact that they would go to such lengths to present the optics of a situation, knowing full well that they had no intention of hiring Brian Flores, that is an indictment on the overall state of the league when it comes to their hiring practices and an indictment on the Rooney Rule. Gojo, I said this before, I'll say it again because I think it bears repeating. When I came into the National Football League in 2005, there were six black head coaches. Today, there is one. We have six black general managers, which I think is a move in the right direction. We saw a couple of them get hired in the NFC North this cycle with Minnesota and Chicago. Detroit has a black GM. Atlanta has a black GM. The Miami Dolphins and the Cleveland Browns. And so I think diversity at the top of these organizations will eventually have the trickle-down effect of being able to impact coaches having opportunities to be hired in these hiring cycles and black candidates getting serious consideration, not just being a part of checking the box with the Rooney Rule. But the fact is, Gojo, it's not happening quick enough. All of these measures that the NFL put in place with draft pick compensation for teams that develop these candidates, I understand that the mechanism is there, but teams are not actually using it. They're not utilizing it because these guys aren't getting hired. And so that's the unfortunate part in all of this, because you can't make owners do what they don't want to do. But when you have a league that's 70% black and with no shortage of former players that would like to be a part of these organizations, whether it's front offices or coaching, the fact that they can't have considerations to move up through the ranks, be coordinators, and to be head coaches, that's a problem in terms of how the NFL conducts its business, and they should be called the carpet for it. And I think this lawsuit from Brian Flores has a real chance of doing that.
Yeah, Kenny Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. I hope so, Chris, because this is one of the first instances where, like you talked about, this has always been an ownership problem. It has been the decision makers in here. Ultimately, we can incentivize, you can put all these rules in place, but in a relationship business, you can't make them hire people that they don't want to at the end of the day here. And when that overwhelmingly skews in favor of white candidates, you get where we currently sit here, Chris. My worry is exactly what we just saw happen with the email surrounding the Washington football team investigation. The things that led to John Gruden's ousting as the Las Vegas Raiders head coach, you saw how quickly the NFL in that instance and everyone involved in that went to make sure when we started hearing maybe the call for more emails to come out, all these things, it seemed like everyone there was pretty quick to cut off the limb to make sure the infection didn't reach the rest of the body, right? There was all those cries for the emails to come out, and then it got very quiet very quickly and all of that, Chris. And you just worry with the track record of what we've seen. I would hope that this would be a chance for something to force them into real substantive change in the way that we evaluate this, but the track record does not indicate that results are something that we should expect at this point.
No, but I think that instance with the Washington football team and John Gruden is actually a part of the conversation we're having right now in terms of the attitudes of these individuals at the top of organizations when it comes to persons of color and actually having the respect that they deserve in the given roles that they have with their clubs. You saw what John Gruden said about DeMaurice Smith and about his lips and that kind of depiction. It seems like it's a pervasive attitude throughout the National Football League. You go back to Colin Kaepernick, which is something that Brian Flores cited in his litigation and how the NFL handled that particular situation. So the track record for the league when it comes to race relations with its employees is not a good one. So I think that there has to be some consideration. We have to give a lot of merit to the allegations that Brian Flores is making, and I'm hoping that this lawsuit can be a part of balancing the scales and actually giving black coaching candidates, minority coaching candidates, an opportunity to rise through the ranks and actually have interviews that could lead to them getting head coaching jobs, because it's clear that the NFL, even with all the incentives that they've put in place, have not been able to do the job. They haven't been able to fix this problem on their own, and I think they've proven that. Now it's time for somebody to step in, whether it's the courts, whether it's a governmental agency. Somebody has to step in and help the NFL fix what's broken when it comes to its hiring practices.
And, oh, by the way, on top of all of that, in this lawsuit, we have an owner accused of offering money to Brian Flores while he was with the Miami Dolphins to tank games during 2019 to improve their draft position. And as much as we all talk about tanking as a strategy and the way front offices may sell off pieces or trade players, I mean, it's almost like a movie script in the way they do it. Chris, the distinction we always made was tanking does not happen at the coach and player level. These are people whose livelihoods are dependent on their performance out there, and so we don't see it. If you're the NFL, you have got two massive problems on your hands, because short of being accused of paying officials, this is about in that same vein of compromising the integrity of the game that you now have alleged as a part of this lawsuit.
Yeah, and I'm interested to see what Roger Goodell does about this, Gojo, because that specific allegation has a ripple effect that's going to go throughout the entire league. When you start talking about the evolution of sports gambling and more people being engaged, involved in the NFL in that capacity, the integrity of the game is paramount to being able to have a product that people can have confidence in. And so when Goodell took the job as commissioner, he said his number one job is to protect the shield, to protect the integrity of the National Football League. This undermines the integrity of the National Football League if that allegation is indeed and true. And to me, it would be no reason for Brian Flores to make that allegation, knowing that he's sacrificing his career or his future career as a head coach in the National Football League by taking this action. I don't think this is just something that he threw out there on a whim that's not factual or that's not based in something that he has evidence for. This is something that I think we have to put more stock in because of the character of the individual that's bringing up these allegations. This is somebody that's proven at the NFL level that they can do the job. He had back-to-back winning seasons with a team that doesn't have a stable quarterback situation and with a franchise that hadn't had back-to-back winning seasons in 20 years. We got to take Brian Flores serious when it comes to what he's saying happened with the Miami Dolphins situation, with the New York Giants situation, and also with the Denver Broncos. And so I would hope that people would afford him that same benefit of the doubt that he deserves when he's making these types of allegations, because this is somebody that's proven that they can do the job. And this is not sour grapes, but this is somebody that recognizes a fundamental problem with the system and is taking action to try to fix it.
We'll continue to cover this as we get more information about this, about Brian Flores and the lawsuit against a number of NFL clubs and the league for alleged racism and hiring practices. We will get to all of that and re-rack some of what we saw on the NFL weekend that was next here. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Andy and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We'll get back to the lawsuit filed by Brian Flores against the NFL and multiple clubs alleging racism in hiring practices here. Our own Chris Mortensen, longtime ESPN NFL reporter, put it best on a tweet. The lawsuit filed by Brian Flores is courageous and, in my opinion, as necessary an action that I can remember in my 50 years of covering the sport. That is certainly what's going to be on the line with this and a lot of the conversation around it that we will get back to coming up here in just a minute. But, Chris, we do know it is Tuesday around this show. We're coming off a big-time conference championship weekend in the NFL. We still got things to rank around here, and we will do that in top five, bottom five.
Which teams were great?
Touch the tackle at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
What player was not?
Does he hang on? Intercepted! He couldn't hang on!
This is the NFL Top 5, Bottom 5.
All right, Canty and Golic Jr.
Number 5.
Kicking off Top 5, Bottom 5 with none other than what we saw this weekend in the Top 5. I got the penthouse in this weekend, Chris. And number five, got to start with Lou Anarumo, the defensive coordinator for the Cincinnati Bengals. The
yes,
job
sir.
That he did in the second half specifically against the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend, because as much as we want to get busy with Joe Burrow, it was that defense putting the clamps on that offense, forcing the greatest shift in QBR from one half to another that we have seen in the NFL's postseason.
And Gojo, it actually started right before halftime with that stop at the goal line, not allowing them to get any points on that possession. Now, that's as much a blunder on Andy Reid at Pat Mahomes as it is credit to the Bengals' defense. But Eli Apple made the tackle on Tyreek Hill, and then they shut off the faucet in the second half. And then on the one possession where Kansas City was able to drive and get some points, it was goal to go at the five-yard line with a minute and a half left. And the fact that Bengals' defense didn't let them punch it in for a touchdown and made them settle for a 40-yard field goal, you got to tip your cap to that group led by defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo.
Incredible stuff there from that defensive side. We'll get to more Bengals coming up here soon.
Number four.
But number four, Chris, we got to look at Odell Beckham Jr. Notched his first 100-yard receiving game since 2019 this past weekend, and since coming over to the Los Angeles Rams from the Cleveland Browns, has done everything possible to shirk every narrative that had been attached to him before. Chris, he's found a home as a number two receiver in one of the best offenses in football and a team that's going to be representing L.A. and the NFC in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it turns out OBJ still knows how to play football at a really, really high level. And that's not what the Cleveland Browns thought. And that's certainly not what the New York Giants thought when they shipped him to Cleveland. So good on Odell for being able to have this redemption short story and rehab his image, because people in NFL circles are going to look at him differently. And let's also keep in mind that drive that he had to help Matt Stafford and that offense put themselves in position to tie the game. couple of big-time catches on that drive, including one that went for 30 yards, and then they tacked on the 15 from the personal foul from Jimmy Ward. But OBJ stepping up in a big way in the postseason, and that's exactly what you want from your best players. Big-time players make big plays in big games, and OBJ is the definition of that.
Kenny and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canty, top five from conference championship weekend rolls on.
Number three.
And Chris, we got to give some credit to the guy that was throwing the ball in that game. Fourth quarter Matt Stafford has become a thing through the course of this postseason overall. We've seen in the fourth quarters this postseason, he is 17 of 23 for 248 yards with a 123.1 passer rating. But Chris, you always talk about being at your best when your best is required, and conference championship weekend seems like a pretty good time. Stafford in the fourth quarter of this last weekend's game, 11 of 14 for 129 yards and a touchdown. And on third down, Chris, a perfect 6 for 6 for 72 yards and a touchdown in the fourth quarter of this weekend's win. Their first in the last 7 tries against the San Francisco 49ers.
No doubt, Gojo. And we know this is a game of inches. And when you get your opportunities, you got to take advantage of them. I'd be curious to see what Matt Stafford's fourth quarter stat sheet would look like if Kwesi Tart makes that interception at the beginning of the fourth quarter, because you're probably talking about the game have a completely different complexion. But Matt Stafford made the plays when he needed to, and the 49ers defense didn't. That throw that he had to Cooper Kupp in the corner of the end zone, that's a big-time ball from a big-time quarterback, and he's dispelling the notion that he can't deliver when it matters most for his team. He was 0-3 in the playoffs with the Detroit Lions over his career there. He's 3-0 in the playoffs with the LA Rams.
Number two
in the top five from conference championship weekend, Adam Schefter and Jeff Darlington. Fellas, stand up and take a bow here. Our ESPN NFL insiders reported Tom Brady's retirement over the weekend, and as Tom Brady has just confirmed today that he is indeed retiring on his own social media, Chris, it was a long weekend for the guys. They took a lot of heat on social media. Now they get to stand up and stood by their reporting the entire time.
Yeah, I know Jeff Darlington was trying to downplay it when he was on the show with us earlier today to talk about Brady's retirement, but you know he's somewhere right now having a cocktail and a nice cigar saying, I was the first one with this story. I told everybody before anybody knew that the GOAT was retiring. So shout out to Jeff Darlington and Adam Schefter being the first with the news and being willing to break it and then standing behind their reporting to Gojo when everybody else was saying that they were crazy.
Absolutely. Incredible stuff. Job well done, boys. But it's time to get it to number one.
Number one.
And Chris, number one belongs to new money Joe Burrow, because no one has quite changed the tide for their franchise quite like Joe Burrow. He led all starters in completion percentage during the regular season. In the postseason, he had 71% against the Raiders in the wild card, 76% in the division round against the Titans. Now, we know it wasn't his best day this past weekend by far, but Chris, he also got asked after the game about his chain and reminded people that he makes too much money for the diamonds to be fake on anything he is wearing. He has changed the entire mindset of this franchise.
Yeah, not to mention when he was able to shirt Chris Jones in the pocket and being able to extend the play and run for a first down, and then after that has the caption or the meme, Cartier frames on, I can't even see you. Like, Joe Burrow has a level of swag that you don't see from a lot of other quarterbacks in the National Football League, and especially second-year guys. And it's reminiscent of some of the greatest quarterbacks the game has ever seen. So credit to him for being able to turn the fortunes of the Cincinnati Bengals around. This team hadn't won a playoff game since 1991, and now they're in the Super Bowl. So shout out to Joe Burrow for being the biggest agent of change we've seen in the league over the last 5 years.
It's been incredible. That's the top five from conference championship weekend. Chris Canty will get you covered with the bottom five coming up in the next hour. Coming up next, though, with Tom Brady's retirement, we now have a new vacant quarterback job heading into the offseason. Are the Buccaneers now at the top of any veteran quarterback's list when it comes to potential landing spots? We'll get to that next here. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canty, and we are joined now on the hotline by ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky. A lot we want to get into, Dan, with you on the future of the Buccaneers quarterback job now that Brady's retired and everything else, but it'd be wrong to start anywhere other than the lawsuit that we've seen filed by Brian Flores against the NFL, the Giants, the Dolphins, and the Broncos. Dan, I saw you and the NFL live crew breaking down and reacting to all of this. What was your first thought when you saw this lawsuit come from Brian Flores towards the league?
Yeah, that as of an hour ago when Brian Flores and his team filed this lawsuit and made it public that the NFL is now different. And it needs to be different when it comes to the hiring process. You know, Mike, I was on the show, and obviously I'm on with Ryan Clark and Marcus Spears. I'm a white dude, and it's silly for me to sit here and pretend like I have any idea as a white guy how this impacts black head coaching candidates or black people in general, Mike. And I said that on the show, like, I don't know the answer because I can't understand the experience. And the only way that something is going to change when it comes to head coaching hiring process in the NFL is, and this is just the truth, dude, and you know it, like, is white people sit there and not listen to, but hear what the black head coaching candidate community has to say, and then, like, feel what they're saying, and so you care about what they're saying. And just candidly, you sit there and go, well, I wouldn't want to feel that way, or I wouldn't want to experience that. And you got to sit there and be like, well, this isn't right. It's got to change, you know, and that's not going to happen until that happens, or it won't change until that happens. And, you know, you don't – I think change happens in two situations. One, you learn. You listen and you learn so you want to. Or two, you're embarrassed to the point where you have to. And I feel like – the latter will be the more likely situation when it comes to the head coaching hiring process in the NFL.
Dan, this is certainly something that was unexpected by all of us, but after processing some of the allegations that are spelled out in the lawsuit by Brian Flores, are you surprised that this is still happening in the National Football League?
Oh, man, Chris. Part of me, and maybe I'm naive, man, but like, yeah, I sit there, I go, like, how the heck does this still happen? Does this, you know, systemic racism or this form of discrimination, like, how does it still happen? I don't understand it really, Chris. Candidly, man, like, dude, I was a 17-year-old when I went to college, and you know, most of my adult life is been spent with people that aren't white. Just keeping it real, you know, like, because of football, yeah. I was, you know, and so I just don't understand how it just keeps happening. And then not only that, Chris, like, that people think it's okay that it happens, I feel, you know? So I wish I could sit here and be like, no, man, I'm not, I still am. And maybe it's, I'm naive, but, and I'm sad, man. Candidly, I'm sad because I've had those conversations with so many of my friends that aren't white. And you just learn so much, and you start to just feel so much for them. And you just sit there and you're like, man, dude, this isn't – I don't want my friends to have to feel this way.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky. And, Dan, certainly well said, a lot more information going to come out on this case and everyone involved in all of this. So we'll keep everyone updated on that as it happens. Dan, we know the other part of today on the football side of things here, what we've seen is the retirement of Tom Brady announced on his social media, which means that Buccaneers job is now available at quarterback here. Dan, what do you see happening with that? Does that now become the most coveted job of this offseason if you're a veteran quarterback on the move?
Yes, if they bring some of the pieces back. I mean, they got a ton of free agents. Kappa, Jensen, Chris Godwin, Rob Gronkowski, Leonard Fournette, JPP. So there's a lot of free agents on that football team that are a big deal. And I think, you know, how much of those players come back will depend on what they do at quarterback. You know, if they still think that they're in a championship window, then, yeah, I think you look at some of the names like what are the Raiders and Josh McDaniel going to do with Derek Carr? I think you look at a name like Baker Mayfield, who I still think because of the way things were verbally communicated at the end of the season between him and his head coach, I still don't know if I think that Baker's going to play for the Browns again. Could him and Bruce Arians connect and get along? Mitchell Trubisky with the Buffalo Bills. Obviously, conversations with Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson, I don't think that there's any chance that either of those players end up there. So there's that kind of pocket of guys. They also took Kyle Trask out of Florida in the second round last year. And, you know, if I understand he wasn't active for any games this year, but it depends on how they feel about him. And, again, if they think it's okay, let's try to restart and rebuild this, or do they believe that they're still in a window where they can go win the division?
Dan, real quick, while we got you, Jim Harbaugh is scheduled to interview with the Minnesota Vikings for their head coaching vacancy. Your thoughts on Harbaugh returning to the NFL?
Yeah, I love him at Michigan. When I think Harbaugh right now, I think Michigan. And I love the fact that he's had this past season that he had there. I know he had tremendous success in the NFL with Colin Kaepernick and a very loaded San Francisco roster. I'd like to see him stay at Michigan and kind of try to be the Nick Saban of the Big Ten, so to speak. I like him in college football.
Going to be interesting to see what happens with that as his job interview with the Minnesota Vikings scheduled to go down this week in person. Dan, always appreciate the time, man. Obviously a lot to react to today, but you do a great job as always, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, boys. Have a good night.
Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL analyst. Again, you can check him out with the NFL Live crew each and every day, Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern. Coming up next, we will take a look at that Raiders job that we talked about here and that quarterback he mentioned in Derek Carr, what the future may hold now that Josh McDaniels has taken over as their new head coach, and get to the statement just released by the NFL on the Brian Flores lawsuit. Next here, Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canty. We'll get to more of the Brian Flores lawsuit, some of the tentacles that come off of this, Chris, but we did get the NFL's response in a statement on the Brian Flores lawsuit from the league office. They said, quote, "The NFL and our clubs are deeply committed to ensuring equitable employment practices and continue to make progress in providing equitable opportunities throughout our organization. Diversity is core to everything we do, and there are a few issues on which our clubs and our internal leadership team spend more time. We will defend against these claims, which are without merit." That is from the NFL and their statement on that Brian Flores lawsuit. And Chris, that last line is going to sound very harsh to a lot of people. These claims, which are without merit. And this is kind of where we have to all remind ourselves. This is now where the lawyers have taken over on this, Chris. And it's not going to sound great in the world of PR, but as they are getting ready for a dogfight, which is what this is going to be, I'd have to imagine they are going out and coming to make sure that they make the strongest statement possible on this because they know what's at stake.
Yeah, they're making a strong statement without actually knowing that the facts are in their favor. Like, that's the one thing that seems a little bit odd or premature from their standpoint. This lawsuit dropped, what, hours ago? How do you know that there's not some evidence that Brian Flores has in regards to the Giants hiring Brian Daboll before they interviewed him in person, or Stephen Ross putting out the offer for $100,000 for every loss in the 2019 season? How do you know that there's no evidence that Brian Flores or his representation might have against the NFL? That's the part that seems a little far-fetched from my standpoint, just because I know what Brian Flores is sacrificing, in a sense, his career as a head coach in the National Football League, and to attack the machine that is the NFL without having some receipts to support your allegations against them in this suit, it just doesn't seem like it would make sense. It doesn't add up. So the NFL is taking a strong position, but they better be sure that all of the evidence is on their side with this, because this is going to get ugly. And if there was any kind of misdeeds or some situation where they mishandled the process in hiring the coaches, like, Brian Flores is going to uncover it with this lawsuit. This has the potential to get really, really ugly.
Yeah, this is going to be one of those situations, Chris, where we're going to find out very quickly the kind of evidence that everyone has on their side in all of this one. So, again, the NFL has made their statement in response to Brian Flores' lawsuit. We'll get back to some more of the specifics of that and what may actually happen here. Now that we've had time, you and I got this news as we were on air in the middle of the show. We've all been spending breaks trying to kind of digest what exactly is alleged in here and what we think may actually come of it. We can get to all of that because there are a lot of prongs to what Brian Flores has accused the Giants, the Dolphins, the Broncos, and the NFL of in this lawsuit. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And Chris, we just talked to Dan Orlovsky about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback job that's now going to be open after Tom Brady's retirement. And one name he brought up as a quarterback they might have to go after or could go after in this veteran market is Derek Carr. And that would insinuate maybe his time with the Raiders would be done for one reason or another. Now that Josh McDaniels is out there as the Las Vegas Raiders head coach, do you think it's more or less likely that we see Derek Carr running it back with the Raiders in 2022?
Gojo, this one is hard to read for me because Derek Carr was one of the more vocal players from the Las Vegas Raiders that wanted Rich Bisaccia to hang around as their head coach and get the organization to remove the interim title. After everything that they have been through this season, it's clear that the guys in that locker room had full confidence in that coach. And so the fact that Mark Davis decided to go a different direction, it leaves in the question, what's going to happen with Carr? We know that he's got 1 year remaining on the contract that he has at a very manageable number. I want to say it's $20 million, which for the caliber of quarterback he is a reasonable rate. I just think that that's one of those situations where the organization is going to have to make a decision. Either he's going to sign an extension or they're going to trade him away for assets in order to rebuild this thing, because Derek Carr is the linchpin for what Josh McDaniels is going to want to do. You can't have success without a quarterback. He learned that in his first tenure with the Denver Broncos with the Tim Tebow experiment. So, like, he's going to have to figure out whether or not Derek Carr would be on board with where he wants to take the program. And if not, being able to trade Derek Carr and bring back assets so he can then find his franchise quarterback. So Derek Carr is going to be a key figure this offseason and somebody that might be available for trade that we haven't necessarily considered, depending upon how Carr feels about McDaniels as his head coach.
Yeah, and that's going to be interesting here, Chris. I thought as far as Carr's, you know, the opening stanza that he heard from Josh McDaniels, because we've been doing Grade the Press conference with all these coach and GM candidates, and we know it's going to be a lot of boilerplate stuff. It's going to be a lot of cliches. But, Chris, I do have to say with Josh McDaniels, he was pretty candid about his time in Denver and what he didn't know at that point, what he made, mistakes he thinks he made as a young head coach in that situation. And if you're Derek Carr looking at the proof then on the field, what the Patriots were able to do, especially in areas like the red zone where the Raiders struggled mightily on offense last year, if I'm Derek Carr, I'm saying, all right, he was able to do that with Cam Newton a year ago, who we know is well past his prime, with Mac Jones, who is a rookie this season. Derek Carr's a quarterback that a lot of people, I think, especially after this last year, come around to as a guy who's been underrated and under-discussed as one of the better veteran quarterbacks in the league. I'd have to imagine there's part of him that would enjoy the opportunity to play for an offensive-minded head coach who might be able to continue to help him grow in some of those places and to be the centerpiece and really a face of the franchise, right? Mark Davis brought John Gruden in there in part to be that face. Maybe Derek Carr now truly gets that chance in an offense where he can be the central part of it that they build from.
Yeah, Gojo, and I'm with you. Maybe that could be the case, but it's not just about how Derek Carr feels about Josh McDaniels. How does Derek Carr feel about Bruce Arians? Or how does he feel about Frank Wright? Or how does he feel about Mike Tomlin? Those are all teams that seem like they're just a quarterback away when it comes to being able to compete at the highest levels of the sport. And if you're Derek Carr, you're going to have options based on the kind of season that you put up and how you produced and how you handled the off-the-field distractions that your team had to deal with and stepping up really as a leader in that locker room. I think Derek Carr is going to be a trade target for a lot of people. It's just a matter of, is he willing to commit to Josh McDaniels long-term, or does he want to go a different direction and extend the rest of his career?
Yeah, I can say you mentioned another coach he may want to look out at. Would it be nice to play for someone like, I don't know, Mike Tomlin with the Pittsburgh Steelers? Lots to digest on the future for him. More to get to with the Brian Flores lawsuit against the NFL as well next.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.